Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Please join us now for this life-changing message.
What I'm going to talk about tonight is I'm going to talk about how to recognize your spiritual gift, and really how to exercise your spiritual gift, and what God thinks about the spiritual gifts, and why God wants us to exercise those gifts. And one of the very important things that I want you to understand after you leave tonight is that it's God's desire for us to use our gifts, because we all have them. You don't have to be standing on a platform. You don't have to have a pastor or a reverend or a priest or a whatever spiritual term in your mind that you think some of those gifts are relegated to. That's not the case. They're for everybody. And when you think about the vision of this church and the vision that Pastor Rick had for this church, it's about the people doing the ministry, right? It's about people like you and I ministering to other hurting people. It's not just for a select few. It's just not for Pastor Rick. It's just not for Pastor Josh to be doing that. It's for each and every one of us to play our part and do what God's called us to do and how God's called us to exercise whatever our individual gift is. So if you believe that, and you also believe in the vision of this church, well, on both of those accounts, who's going to do all that? Well, you are. That's right. It's you and I working together with this close relationship with Jesus Christ of what our gifts are to make that come to fruition. And you think about, boy, I'm not really sure. Can people like me do the ministry? Is that really... can that really come to pass as the vision of this church? Is that possible? Is it doable? Is it biblical? Well, what I want to hope to show you tonight is the answer to those questions are yes, yes, and yes. That everybody plays a part. Everybody has a spiritual gift that God is asking us and telling us and commanding us to exercise in our life. But we have to go after them. We have to cultivate them. We have to want to do it. We have to understand that it really is God's desire for us to walk out and exercise those spiritual gifts. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Because I figured if you don't know what those gifts are, we might as well read. Amen? I'm going to just start in, I'll start in verse 4. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one, for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another their interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So you may have a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, faith, gift of healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of the spirits, tongues, discerning of tongues. But my goal here tonight, and what I would certainly at any time be unable to do, is to tell you or let you know which one of those gifts that you should be operating in. Because that's not, in my opinion anyway, that's not for anybody to really tell you. That comes with this personal relationship with Jesus Christ that we talk about. To me, that's between you and God. That's why this relationship with Him, this one-on-one intimate relationship, is so important, because we constantly have to be drawing closer and closer to Jesus Christ so that we know, what have you called me to do in a specific situation? What do you want me to hear from you? And then exercise that and put whatever you've put in me into action. That's up for you to discover. That's between you and God. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. And this is really, these two verses here are really what led me to preach this message, because I think there's a lot of things just in these two verses that I want to explore tonight. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever. And a few of the really important things that I take out of this is, number one, we all have gifts. It says it right there. As each one has received a gift. We all have gifts. So it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter what you've been through, what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you think about the gifts, who you think should be exercising them. Sometimes our minds are the roadblock to us exercising our gift, because we think, that's not for me. I can't do that. I'm not close enough to God. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we all have gifts. He's planted them inside of us. Now, it's just our job to discover them, cultivate them, and use them. Secondly, these gifts are not for ourselves. And I think that's sometimes where, when we operate in these gifts, or we want to operate in these gifts, it's almost sometimes it's selfishly, because we think, boy, if I do this, if I have a word for somebody, if I do something else, I'm going to feel better about myself. Or people are going to view me as something that I'm not. People are going to view me as I'm super spiritual. But that's not what our gifts are for. Our gifts are for other people, to edify and build up the kingdom, to grow the kingdom. Our gifts are really designed to give them away. Number three, we don't own our gifts. We are just the stewards of our gifts. That's really like number two. We don't own anything. We are just mere stewards of everything that God's blessed us with. Our gifts aren't for ourselves. God's given us these gifts, planted these gifts inside of us, so we can build up His church. We can build up people, so that we can give these gifts away. Also, God is the source of everything that we have, which includes our spiritual gifts. We by ourselves can't do anything. I by myself can't do anything. Now, I may be able to fake it for a little while, and you may be able to fake it for a little while, whether that's a spiritual gift or anything, but sooner or later, without viewing God as your source, all that just crumbles. And for most of us in the room, including myself, we've probably learned this the hard way a few times during the course of our lifetime. And we'll probably go through it again. But we have to remember that God is the source. We're just mere stewards. And I think there's a few things that happen negatively when we fail to use our gifts. Because when we fail to use our gifts, and whatever those are, as God reveals them to us, and we're not using those gifts at all, or to build up the kingdom or edify the kingdom, what happens? Well, I think at the beginning, we're disobedient to God. And that's never good. We're disobedient to God. So what happens is God's kingdom suffers, and God is not glorified. And really, when you get right down to it, all of our lives, no matter what we do with our words, our actions, our deeds, our spiritual gifts, it really all comes down to one thing. Are we glorifying God? Are my actions, deeds, words, worship, finances, spiritual gifts, all those things, are they glorifying God? Are we using our gifts, our spiritual gifts, the way God would call us to do? And this is God's design for us. If you just, those verses in Peter, this is God's design for us. In order to be a functioning member of the body of Christ, we have to use our spiritual gifts. In order to be effective witnesses, we have to use our gifts and understand how to exercise them and how they operate, how they should operate in our lives. This Christian life we live really should be a supernatural way of life. This is the way God has designed it. There's no way, after reading this Bible and what this word says and what I've seen in my life and in the lives of other people, you can't get me to believe anything other than that. And this church will never be all that God has called us to be until each and every one of us continue and start to exercise our spiritual gifts. Amen? You know, our spiritual gifts are always meant to edify, to build, not to tear down. If somehow you're exercising your gift and that's tearing down somebody or something in a certain way, I think you need to check yourself. Not that anybody's doing that here. I'm not saying that, but my point is, all these gifts that God has blessed us with, He's called us to use them to build, to raise up, to edify His kingdom. Our gifts should always be producing fruit. If they're not producing fruit in others, in His kingdom, as well as in ourselves, something's wrong. There's something messed up there. Something just not right. It's not all lining up. It should always be bringing spiritual fruit to people around you, building up God's kingdom, not tearing it down. And when you think about it, this process is really like a seed. You know, a seed has everything that it needs to grow into a fruit or a tree or whatever that is. It needs to be cultivated, but it has everything, just like our spiritual gifts. We have everything inside of us that we already need. There's not anything that God would ask us to do that He hasn't already fully empowered us and gives us the skill and the gifts to do. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. Another parable He put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all these seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." That little bitty mustard seed grows to where other things are nesting in its branches. That little seed that you have inside of you, once cultivated and exercised, is going to build God's kingdom. That's just the way it is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. As his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We cooperate and partner with God by using our gifts and developing ourselves. We're working hand in hand with God. God always works through people. You've probably heard me say that before, but that is just a rule that will never change. God will always work through people. Like I said, this process is like a seed. The seed is planted, and although it's in so very small, it's entirely present. Everything in that little seed, it contains everything that the seed will ever need. It just needs to be nurtured and watered and cared for. Those seeds are complete in its small form, but they're underdeveloped, just like our spiritual gifts and just like ourselves. We are complete, yet we're underdeveloped. We just need to be cared for. We need to be cultured. We need to be watered in order to exercise those gifts. Because we may go through our lives and have these gifts inside of us and things God's calling us to do. But if we never do anything about it, or we never try to exercise them, we never try to get closer to God, we never try to draw nearer to him, those gifts aren't going to come out. And then what's going to happen, like I said before, we're being disobedient to God. God's kingdom is suffering. Just like when I was in grade school, we used to have to do these science projects, and I wasn't really into science or whatever. I was a good student. I mean, straight A's and all, but no, not really. I didn't even get a flinch out of you, Josh. I was more of a, I don't even know what you call it. I don't know what type of learner this is, but I could memorize something. So I was good at, like, history, religion. Like, if you asked me to memorize something, I could spit it back to you and regurgitate. When it came to, like, thinking, which I shouldn't even admit this, it was a little hard for me, you know, like math and algebra and geometry. I don't know. But anyway, science was kind of the same to me. So when you have to do these science projects, I would do the same thing every year. I would take a pot, put dirt in it, put some seeds in it. I'd take another pot, put dirt in it, put some seeds in it. One pot, I would just stick in the closet. The other pot, I would water, give it sunlight, get it in, you know, cultivate it, water it, take care of it. Well, what would happen? The one would grow, and the one wouldn't do anything. It would just be dirt in a pot. Well, I say that because many times I think that's what our spiritual gifts are like. The two pots that I started with had the exact same ingredients. They had everything that they needed. The seed over here with the dirt, that was just basically seed in the dirt that nobody cared for, was stuck in a closet. At the end of the day, it was just seed in the dirt. This over here, with some love and some nurturing and some cultivation and some water, became something. That's the same with our spiritual gifts. And you say, well, that can't be that easy. It can't be that easy. That's, again, why this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, when you start to draw closer to him, he draws closer to you. When you ask him questions, he's going to give you answers. When you spend time with him, he's going to spend time with you. And then you're going to know things. You're going to hear things. You're going to understand and be able to recognize the voice of God and what he's asking you and telling you to do. And I think one of the reasons why we don't see these gifts manifesting or being exercised in our lives is we're too comfortable sometimes. We've never taken that vital step from the natural into the supernatural because we're comfortable, we're complacent. We like our natural world, so to speak, things that we can kind of control. We like to view our lives in a little box where, you know what, I'm just called to come to church on Sundays and Tuesdays and show support for the pastor, or maybe just usher, or maybe just be on the worship team. But when it comes to this stuff of spiritual gifts, or what I would think of in religious terms, maybe of using those spiritual gifts, that's for these supernatural people over here. That's not for me. I believe there's people in this place tonight that God wants you to take that next step. Take that step out of the natural and into the supernatural. Those scriptures I talked about before, or I read before, that's what it says. It says we're all designed to do that. It says we all have gifts. It's just up to us to use them. Jesus Christ can't make us use those gifts. That's why one of the reasons we have free will, right? But it's up to us to grab onto that, to have faith for it, to be able to walk out and exercise those gifts. And I think this is the very first step sometimes of leading a life like this, is getting out of your box, your little natural box, and stepping in to the box of the supernatural. Because the way I view it and what I believe my Bible says is this supernatural way of life, that's normal living for a Christian. It should be normal living for a Christian. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not asking you that, okay, if you move in the prophetic, I'm not asking you to, you know, show up at your work early tomorrow morning so that you can meet everybody at the door and give them a prophetic word. That's not what I'm saying. Now, if God's told you to do that, I would go for it. But at the same time, I've never heard of anybody, of God speaking to anybody in that way. So I'm not just saying be this crazed person doing all this stuff. Again, that's where this relationship comes in. What's God telling you to do? And then do it. Nothing more, nothing less. Our job in this life is just about obedience. God tells me to do something, I do it. That was like a preaching point. I'm not saying that every time God tells me to do something, I do it. I wish I would. But that's what this Christian life is all about. That's what I believe the Bible would say. That's what our normal Christian lives should be all about. And sometimes I think we get mixed up because we're too worried about what we view of these gifts or how we think about these gifts. We need to get out of our own thinking and our own view of these gifts. We need to think about, hey, how does God view these gifts? What does God think about these gifts? And those are all things I've talked about. It's not about us. It's about Him. We are stewards of the gifts. He's given us all a gift. It's just up to us to exercise those gifts, put them into action. What's God telling us to do? Where is He leading us? It's all about what it will do for the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. These gifts exist in us for us to use them in order to make us effective members of the body, to build the kingdom, to be fruitful Christians. And when we do this, this will glorify God. And again, that's why we exist. If we're not existing to glorify God, if our words, our actions, our deeds, our worship, if they don't glorify God, I'd have to ask myself a question, what am I doing? I'm missing the boat somewhere. If I'm not glorifying God in all these things, I've got something backwards. and if you're not using your spiritual gifts in that arena, you're not really glorifying God in that way. Everything was created for this purpose, to glorify God. And that includes our spiritual gifts. That's why God's given us these spiritual gifts, to bring glory to Him. Ephesians chapter 1, 3 through 12, and this is in the Message Bible. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He is the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundation, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of the beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishment chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him, everything in the deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. That's a personal relationship. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. The exercising of our spiritual gifts in a powerful way is which God fulfills His purposes and grows His church and builds His kingdom. And how can we begin to exercise these in a spiritual way? Like I said, the basis for all gifts is to glorify God. And the basis for exercising any gift really comes down to just faith. Do I have the faith to believe for that or not? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Faith is the only basis by which we can be accepted by God. And when it comes to a faith like this, and what's that saying in Hebrews? Is that saying, number one, it's a faith that believes that God exists. But it can't just stop there. That isn't sufficient in and of itself. It's a faith that says that if I go to God according to His word, He's going to reward me according to His word. Do you get that? If I go to God according to His word, I'm going to be rewarded according to His word. That's what it's all about. It's not about God lining up His priorities with ours. It's about us being with God, being with step-by-step tandem, so that He can work in us and through us. To take it a step further, Romans 14:23 says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin." God has set this one basic requirement of faith that He's never going to waver from. Never going to waver from. And many times we can't receive this type of faith, especially in regards to these spiritual gifts, until we set aside, really, everything that we've probably previously thought of or previously learned about the gifts, or whatever our traditional thinking about these gifts are, or denominational teachings. That's why we have to have God's view and what he's saying to us. The most important thing in order to exercise your gift, the most important thing in order to exercise your gift and to know what your spiritual gift is that relationship with Jesus. What is he saying to me? Again, if I'm receiving a prophetic word that maybe that God's given me for somebody, I need to go tell that person. That's a whole lot different than me wanting to move in the prophetic and showing up to work tomorrow, waiting for everybody to come in and give them a prophetic word. There's a big difference in that. That's why that relationship is so crucial. And I think there's some real truths from God's word that if you hear them, they'll build your faith in not only receiving those gifts, these gifts, but being able to exercise them. And as I go through these bullet points that I have here of truths from the Bible, I would say try to clear your mind of all this stuff I've talked about as far as any denominational teachings of maybe you've heard, or that your thoughts that it's relegated to a select few people who you think are way more spiritual than you are, or somebody that's a pastor or speaks from a stage or can rattle off more Bible verses than you can. Forget all that. First one, and I've talked about a lot of things already. The supreme purpose of these gifts is to glorify God. Every time we exercise a spiritual gift and do what God is telling us to do and doing what he has called us to do, and we exercise those gifts, we're glorifying God. Doesn't matter what the people around us think. Doesn't even matter what we think about what he's told us to do. As long as we do it, it's bringing glory to him. Exercising our gifts builds up the body of Christ. This is always true. It will always build up and edify the body of Christ. If God's speaking me to do something and I don't do it, not only am I robbing myself, but more importantly, I'm robbing God's people and God's kingdom. Another one, exercising our gifts is God's will. It's not limited to a few individuals. It's meant for you. It's meant for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, and this is right after he names the gifts, and verse 11 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." It's not your choice. It's not my choice. It's up to God. Next one, if we love God, we will receive his gifts. If we are questioning the value of our lives, or the value of our gifts, or the value of our spirituality, or our worthiness of God's gifts that he's placed on our lives. If we're not okay with what he's blessed us with, we're always looking for something more, or looking at somebody else's gifts, or somebody else's talents. What we're doing is we're questioning God, and we just have the wrong picture of him. The more we chase after God, the more we appreciate his gifts. There was a price paid on the cross for these gifts. Next one, these gifts are alive today. They're not just Old Testament gifts. They're alive today. And they will be alive in people, and there will be people called to exercise these gifts from now until Christ returns. Amen? And what happens when we use these gifts in operation? The lame walk, the blind see, the sick get healed, people get saved. things happened. There was a price paid. Jesus rose from the grave so that we could have these things and much, much more. You know, you can go to the grave of Muhammad, and he's going to be there. You can go to the grave of Buddha, and he's going to be there. And I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just telling you how it is. You can go to the grave of, any Catholic pope, and he's going to be there. You can go to the grave of any religious leader. You name them. You can go to that person's grave if you can find it. Guess what? He's going to be there. You go to the grave of Jesus Christ. What's there? There ain't nothing there. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. He paid a price for all this and much more. Amen? Next one, these gifts are essential for ministry. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That Holy Spirit presence and power is essential to do what I'm talking about. Next one, the gospel is to be preached with signs following. Mark 16, verse 17 through 20. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The gospel is to be preached with accompanying signs. This is God's pattern. This is the way God has designed ministry to work. This is the way God has designed his kingdom to be built. This is what it means, exercising these gifts in our lives. That's what it means to fully preach the gospel. That's what it means to fully minister God's word to a sinful and dying world. And the time is now. The time is now to do this. The devil always has a tomorrow. God speaks to you, and then maybe the devil will come against you and say, not now. Wait for tomorrow. The time's not right. There's too many people around. The person's going to get offended. Wait till you get to church. Wait till you pray more. Wait till a Tuesday night. Can't happen on a Sunday. Wait till you have it all figured out. Wait till all your ducks are in a row. Just doesn't work that way. If you're waiting for that, you're going to be waiting a long time. The time is now. When Jesus speaks to you, when you hear his voice, when you hear that nudging, the time is now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you listen to the devil's tomorrow, you'll never enter into God's now. You just can't do both. If you listen to the devil's tomorrow, you'll never enter God's now. The right time to receive his gifts are now. The right time to activate those gifts are now. The right time to exercise those gifts is now. There's nothing else to be waiting for. Man, there is a large, scary, sinful world out there. Not even the world, just this city, just our neighborhood, just your neighborhood, wherever you are. You know what that world's waiting for? That world is waiting for people like you and I to exercise those gifts and to simply just do what God has called us to do. In whatever that arena is. Tonight I'm talking about your spiritual gifts, but you could use that for anything. The time is now. The devil, your circumstances, whatever you've conjured up in your mind, have been there too long. Too long. We all play key components of God's kingdom. And really, of this church. If you consider Fenton your home campus, we can't be all we can be and do what all God's called us to do without you playing your role, whatever that is. If you're here tonight and Central West End is your home campus, Central West End can't be all God's called it to be without you playing your role. If your home campus is Waterloo, the same goes for you. This all works together. Each and every one of us. Using your individual gifts that Jesus Christ has blessed you with and put inside you, that little bitty teeny tiny seed that just even in that form has everything you will ever need. The time is now. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet as I pray. And as I pray, I would just ask you to think about some of these things that I've talked about tonight. And the fact that you have these spiritual gifts inside of you that just need to be stoked up a little bit. Like I said earlier, you think I do everything God tells me to do? No. I'm ashamed to say that, but that'll probably always be the case. Hopefully, as I grow and get closer to God and step out in these areas, whatever they may be, hopefully my percentage goes up and up and up and up. But I'm never going to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect. This life isn't about perfection. It's about obedience. It's about exercising the thing that God has called you to do. And I believe there's people in here tonight, and you may not even realize it right now, but hopefully some of the things I said or the scriptures I read, I believe it did something in you. And as I pray, take it serious. Go out of here asking God, what do you want me to do? I know I'm not just designed to come here on Sundays and listen to some worship songs and listen to a great message by Pastor Rick so that it can sustain me until the next week. That's not what this Christian life's all about. Step out of that natural way of living into the supernatural. And sometimes if you do that correctly and you don't get all weird on me, I don't even know how to say it other than that. But sometimes when you find you do that in a normal way, it all works. You don't have to change the way you do everything. You don't have to become perfect. You don't have to be successful at everything you do. All you have to do is seek God, hear from Him, and then walk it out.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.